ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपः कुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो यस्टर्डे वी और रादर सैटरडे we saw the verse number 46 of 7th canto 5th chapter, and today we are discussing from 51st verse. So the following verses do not have purport, so I'll just read out the translation and then we'll come to today's verse. Verse 47. I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited, for he has not feared any of my punishments. He appears immortal, therefore because of my enmity towards him, I shall die. Or maybe this will not take place. Verse 47. Thinking in this way, the king of Daityas, morose and bereft of bodily lustre, remained silent with his face downward. Then Shanda and Marka, the two sons of Shukracharya, spoke to him in secret. Verse 49. O Lord, we know that when you simply move your eyebrows, all the commanders of the various planets are most afraid. Without the help of any assistant, you have conquered all the three worlds. Therefore, we do not find any reason for you to be morose and full of anxiety. As for Prahlad, he is nothing but a child and cannot be cause of anxiety. After all, his bad and good qualities have no value. Verse 50. Until the return of our spiritual master, Shukracharya, arrest this child with the ropes of Varuna, so that he will not flee in fear. In any case, by the time he is somewhat grown up and has assimilated our instructions or served our spiritual master, he will change in his intelligence. Thus there need not be any cause for anxiety. Verse 51. Tatheti Guru Putroktam. Anugyaya Idam Abhravid Dharma Hi Asya Upadeshtavya Rajanam Ya Grihamedinam. Tatheti Guru Putroktam. Tatheti Guru Putroktam. Anugyaya idam abravid. Anugyaya idam abravid. Dharmasya hi asya upadeshtavya. Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavya. Rajanam yo grihamedinam. Rajanam yo grihamedinam. Tateti guru putroktam. Anugyaya idam abravid. Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavya. Rajanam yogrihamedinam Tatheti guru putroktam Anugyaya idam abravit Dharmohi asya upadeshtavyo Rajanam yogrihamedinam Tatheti guru putroktam Anugyaya idam abravir Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavyo Rajanam yo grihamedinam. Please repeat. Tatheti guru putroktam Tatheti guru putroktam Anugyaya idam abravit Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavyo Rajanam yo grihamedinam Tatheti guru putroktam Anugyaya idam abravit Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavyo Rajanam yo grihamedinam. Mataji. Tatheti guru putroktam Anugyaya idam abravit Dharmo hi asya upadeshtavyo Rajanam yo grihamedinam. We'll see word to word meaning. Tatha, in this way. Iti, thus. Guru putroktam, advised by Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya, Anugyaya, accepting. Idam, this. Abravid, said. Dharma, the duty. He, indeed. Asya, unto Prahlad. Upadeshtavya, to be instructed. Rajanam, of the kings. Ya, which? Grihamedinam, who are interested in householder life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by the royal householder families. You all repeat the translation after me responsibly. After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal householder families. Purport. Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be trained as a diplomatic king in ruling the kingdom, the country or the world, but not to be advised about renunciation or the renounced order of life. The word dharma here does not refer to some religious faith. As clearly stated, dharmo hi upadeshtavyo rajanam yo grihamedinam. There are two kinds of royal families. One, whose members are simply attached to household life, and others consisting of Rajarshi kings who govern with the ruling power but are as good as great saints. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become a Rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted him to become a king attached to sense enjoyment, Grihamedinam. Therefore, in the Aryan system, there is a Varnashram Dharma by which everyone should be educated according to his position in the society's division of Varna, Brahmachari, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and ashrama, brahmacharya, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. A devotee purified by devotional service is always in the transcendental position above the mundane qualities. Thus the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was that Hiranyakashipu wanted to keep Prahlad in mundane attachment, whereas Prahlad was above the modes of material nature. As long as one is under the control of material nature, his occupational duty is different from that of a person not under such control. One's real dharma or occupational duty is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam, as described to his order carriers by Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. A living being is a spiritual identity, and therefore his occupational duty is also spiritual. The real dharma is that which is advised in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. One must give up one's material occupational duties, just as one must give up his material body. Whatever one's occupational duty, even according to Varnashram system, one must give it up and engage in one's spiritual function. One's real dharma or occupational duty is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Swarup Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. That is one's real occupational duty. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And 7th canto originally started when there was a question in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj as to how Supreme Lord can be partial. And then, while answering, he takes to the conversation of Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, where Narada Muni describes about how Shishupal got delivered. And while speaking about Shishupal, he just spoke about Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, and that ignited the query from Yudhishthira Maharaj as to what happened between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Why, although Prahlad Maharaj was son of Hiranyakashipu, why Hiranyakashipu was envious, or why were they enemies, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj? And that's how this whole beautiful pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev appearing and killing Hiranyakashipu comes in this Bhagavatam. Now this section of Bhagavatam is specially very instructive, because the story of Prahlad Maharaj gives us no exception for practicing devotional service. Nobody can say that because of my parents' opposition I am not able to practice Krishna consciousness, or because of society's opposition I am not able to practice Krishna consciousness. So nobody can give such an excuse when they read Prahlad Maharaj's story, because we see that Prahlad Maharaj was just 5 years old boy, and he was in the midst of a satsang. His teacher were demons. His father was king of demons. Few chapters before, the title of chapter is Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons. And his schoolmates, all of his friends were also demons. So in this way, nobody can give excuse that, you know, why we should not practice Krishna consciousness because of social conditions. So Prahlad Maharaj's story was also very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to tell his devotees to recite Bhagavatam, one of the very favorite prayers or very favorite section of Bhagavatam which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear from his devotees is Prahlad Maharaj. So this story starts with how Lord Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was elder brother of Hiranyakashipu, and he had taken the earth from its position to lower planetary system, and Krishna or Vishnu took form of a boar and fought with Hiranyakashipu, and then fought with Hiranyaksha and killed Hiranyaksha. And when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu was grief-stricken, same as his wives and all his relatives. But then the story shows how Hiranyakashipu uses Bhagavad Gita's philosophy to speak something to suit the situation. He speaks philosophy so that the grief of the wives of Hiranyaksha is gone, so that I can execute my plan of how to conquer Vishnu. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Bhagavan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya Chandra Bhagavan ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. And then Hiranyakashipu goes ahead and does a very severe tapasya. Such a tapasya was unprecedented. So much so that when Brahma came to offer benediction to Hiranyakashipu, Brahma expressed his surprise that I have never seen any person who has done such a tapasya. Brahma is living from such a long time, and he has seen so many great sages who has done tapasyas. But then here he says that Hiranyakashipu's tapasya was extraordinary. You know, nobody has done such a tapasya. And then Hiranyakashipu, with his material mentality, calculated how he should be immortal. I should not die inside, outside, with any animal or a weapon, with any living being created by you, inside the house, outside the house, in the sky, in the house, all combinations he tried. And later on his son was born, Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is put into school where Shanda Marka were the head teachers. So after being sufficiently taught in the school, when Hiranyakashipu was brought, Prahlad Maharaj was brought in front of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "My dear son, what is the best thing which you learnt in the school?" And when first time when Prahlad Maharaj wanted to answer the question of Hiranyakashipu, he said, Hiranyakashipu, that give up this household life, which is like a dark well, and go to forest and take shelter of Lord Hari. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was laughing. You know, sometimes child speak something which they don't know. Badi badi baate bol dete, you know. When small childs are there, they just speak anything and whatever comes to their mind. So Hiranyakashipu thought that maybe Prahlad Maharaj, you know, is just speaking in air. He is not meaning what he is telling. And he also guessed that some Vaishnavas might have come to Gurukul and they might have spoken these verses here and there, and Prahlad Maharaj might have caught up with that. So he called Chandan Amarka and he said that please take care that no Vaishnavas come to your school, because they are very expert in spoiling the child. They make them into Hare Krishnas and they give up all their family attachment. So he was sent back to school, and then after again sufficient training, still Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was undeterred. Chandamarga were trying to get out, the reason how Prahlad Maharaj got this devotional service. But Prahlad Maharaj spoke a very nice verses. You know, he spoke how naturally he is attached to Krishna. So Chandamarga thought that, you know, we will not be able to change Prahlad Maharaj. So somehow one fine day again they brought him in front of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, when he saw Prahlad Maharaj, again bowed down to Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu was very happy. Prahlad's small son bowing down to you, he was very happy. He took him on his lap and he asked the same question. My dear son, what is it the best thing which you learned in your school? And this time Prahlad Maharaj told Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. And when he heard this word called Vishnu, Shravanam, Kirtanam, it was okay if it would have been Shravanam, Kirtanam, Hiranyakashipu, Smaranam. But unfortunately, Prahlad Maharaj told Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And that was a big blow to Hiranyakashipu. He said that although he is part of our family only, but he should be killed immediately. Because if any part of body becomes poisonous, and if it is not terminated, then the whole body becomes poisonous. So this small boy has been poisoned by the Krishna conscious philosophy. He is telling about Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So he should be immediately killed. So this is the mentality of demon. You know, if somebody is objecting our sense gratification, even verbally, then he should be killed. Like that. But Prahlad Maharaj was tormented by all different techniques. He was stricken by weapons, put under the feet of elephants. He was kept in a room where there were snakes of poison. He was thrown from a top of a hill. And Hiranyakashipu employed illusory tricks. And he gave poison. He stoned him. But nothing happened to Prahlad Maharaj. So Hiranyakashipu was surprised. This was precisely the benediction which I wanted. And I had to do lot of tapasya. I never wanted to kill by an animal or any weapons. And I did so much tapasya to get this benediction from Brahma. But this small boy has not done anything. But this boy seems to have this benediction automatically. And more so, Hiranyakashipu, even after this, he got this benediction, he was still having a fear. Maybe somehow Vishnu will devise a plan to kill me. Right? But he saw that Prahlad Maharaj was fearless. Small child, when he is being attacked, it is very easy for a small boy to become fearful. Right? If a father walks with a small child in the road, and if a vehicle comes with a big sound, the child becomes fearful. Any time a small child goes on road, he says, "Father, pick me up. I don't want to walk on the road." Right? And any animal a small boy sees, he becomes fearful. But here, Prahlad Maharaj was very, very fearless. That was the precise topic of last Bhagavatam class. How he was fearful. And no matter what instructions this Chanda and Amarka gave to Prahlad Maharaj, he was not ready to change. And that's how he was called as Shuna Shepa by Hiranyakashipu, dog's tail. And he is always behind this Vishnu. Although Vishnu is my enemy, he is my son, still he is behind this Vishnu. So seeing that, then Chanda Amarka took Hiranyakashipu in confidence. He brought him aside and they spoke to Hiranyakashipu in secret. And they told him, "See Hiranyakashipu, you are ruling the whole planet, planetary systems in fact, not just planet. Even Indra fears from you. All the demigods fear you. Just by movement of your eyebrows, you can get anything done. So why are you worried about this small boy who is just 5 years old? So they were trying to patch up the ego of Hiranyakashipu, which got hurted by Prahlad Maharaj. So they were telling, "You are so big king, you just don't worry about this small boy." And as regards to his mentality towards Vishnu, that will change over a period of time. No? Small boys, when they are boys and they are very small, they are very innocent. But as they grow up, they change. They no longer remain innocent. They no longer remain devoted to God. When small child comes to temple, he immediately pays obeisances. But the same boy, when he grows up, he never comes to temple. Right? So they told that all the friends of Prahlad Maharaj are demons. And we ourselves, the teachers, are also demons. And just wait for some time. The big teacher is going to come, the Shukracharya. And when Shukracharya will come and give instructions to Prahlad Maharaj, and when Prahlad Maharaj will serve Shukracharya, Prahlad Maharaj's mind will change. Even demons had faith in the association. Because association can change a person. When a person who is materialistically motivated, when he comes in the association of devotees, he changes his mentality. If he sits with them, if he hears classes with them, if he eats with them, if he regularly associate with them, the mentality becomes like that. In Hindi there is saying, Jaisa Sang, Vaisa Rang. Right? So, Shanda Amarka were trying to pacify Hiranyakashipu. Now you please don't worry. We will keep him tied up. So that he will not flee away. So they were trying to give an artificial pacification to Hiranyakashipu. That Prahlad Maharaj might be fearful to run away from your house. So, don't worry. Prahlad Maharaj also has fear. We will keep him tied up in our school, and when Shukracharya will come, he will instruct Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's mentality will change. And that's how Hiranyakashipu got little pacified. And then, here Hiranyakashipu is expressing that Hiranyakashipu basically wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be involved in household family life, not a Rajarshi. Prahlad Maharaj told that give up household life and go to forest. So he thought, what will happen if Prahlad Maharaj will do the same? What will happen to this whole kingdom of whom I am the sole ruler? And I wanted Prahlad Maharaj to take up the same kind of ruling mentality which I have. And if by mistake Prahlad Maharaj leaves everything and goes to forest, what will I show to everyone? People will ask that Hiranyakashipu was such a great king, but his son was not like him. So he wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be exactly imitate Hiranyakashipu's way of life, being attached to family life. But Prahlad Maharaj's mentality was something else. Prabhupada writes in this purport that Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become Rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to become Grihamedi. So Rajarshi means what? Prabhupada writes in the purport that Rajarshi means they are kings, but as good as saintly, a great sage. There are many examples in the scriptures and the history of Vaishnavas, that there were many great saintly kings. Pandavas were great saintly kings. Yudhishthir Maharaj was also called as Rajarshi. Parikshit Maharaj was also Rajarshi. In South Indian history, we have Kulashekar Maharaj. He was also a Rajarshi. It was said that in Kulashekar Maharaj's kingdom, the assembly, king used to come every day. And the daily topic of discussion in Kulashekar Alvar's kingdom was Ramayana. Not even single day they discussed any management issues. What problem the society is facing. So Kulashekar Alvar was such a great king that even without any discussing issues, all the issues used to get resolved. And the king used to be only interested in discussing Ramayana or discussing Krishna Katha. In Bhagavatam we also get the story of Prahlad Ambarish Maharaj, who was a great Rajarshi. Though he was a king, he was not interested in kingly way of life. He was rather interested in devotional service. So this is the lifestyle of Rajarshis. So Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become one such Rajarshi, but Hiranyakashipu wanted him to become Grahamedhis. Now Grahamedhis are those people who get married, they have wives, they have children, they have property, they rule over some patch of land, and they are interested in that. They want to expand their kingdom. The mentality of such a person is that I have so much wealth now, and after some time, by devising such plans, I will increase my wealth. I will increase my kingdom. I will marry more queens. I will beget more children. So this expanding mentality is of Grihamedhis. So Grihamedhis' life is always being condemned in Bhagavatam. Even when Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj started speaking Bhagavatam, the first person, the first category of people whom Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj condemns is Grihamedhis. Second canto, first chapter, first verse. So while answering Parikshit Maharaj's question, he says, Shrotavyadinu Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasrasa Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedina. So why these Grihamedhis are condemned? Because they do not see what they are seeing. Apashyatam Atma Tattvam. Apashyatam means not seeing Atma Tattvam. What they don't see Atma Tattvam. They only say that my relatives, my wealth, my wife, my children, my. Everything is surrounded around me and mine. In Sanskrit it is called as Aham Mameti. So they forget in the pursuit of increasing their material wealth that one day I have to die. That I am not this body but a spirit soul. So that's why they are condemned. Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Girhamedina. So these Grihamedhis, they continue to live in the household life. They don't give up the household life and take to Krishna consciousness or shelter of Krishna. Even when the age is advanced, even after a person is supposed to take up vanaprastha, he continues to stay in household life, thinking that whatever enjoyment I missed out during my grahastha life, somehow let me squeeze out in my vanaprastha life. Whatever enjoyment I couldn't do, let me see my son enjoying that and enjoy through seeing that my son is enjoying. Because after vanaprastha and the age of 60-70, nobody can actively enjoy. Because you are having diabetes, you get so many big list of diseases that you cannot enjoy your senses. So they see sometimes their sons enjoying and then they feel that yes, whatever I missed, my son is doing. So like that, they don't give up the household life. Either they themselves want to enjoy or they want to see their family members enjoy. So that is the way of Grihamedhi life. So that's what is our Hiranyakashipu is personifying. He himself is trying to enjoy. He is ruling all the demigods. Even without making chutki, everything is ready at his place. Food, apsaras are dancing in front of Hiranyakashipu. When he sleeps, people are fanning him. When he gets up, people are, readily doing whatever he wants. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj also should follow my path. But Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu that please kindly give up your family attachment and go to forest. So there is always conflict of interest between people who are spiritually inclined and people who are materially inclined. Prabhupada used to say that sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Just like water and oil, no matter how much you try to mix them, still the oil drop will come out of the water and stay separate. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj are giving example of this, that people who are materially inclined and spiritually inclined are, never go well together. And that conflict ignited the appearance of Narsingdev. So the problem here is Hiranyakashipu, when he was attached to sense gratification, the problem of sense gratification is that even if you have all arrangements of sense gratification, if there is some discrepancy, that small discrepancy will make you so miserable that all other arrangements of sense gratification will not give you pleasure. Hiranyakashipu has all arrangements, but a small boy, his own son, is not saying Hiranyakashipuya Namaha. And that small discrepancy created so much anxiety in him that he could not enjoy the other arrangements of sense gratification. And he wanted to terminate it. He wanted to kill Prahlad Maharaj. So in the purport going ahead, Prabhupada speaks about how one can become transcendental to this situation. First of all, Prabhupada also speaks about Varnashram Dharma. No, because mostly in this world, people are interested in sense gratification. And they somehow end up their life being a Grahamedi. So to regulate that, or to purify such a consciousness of living entities, Prabhupada says that there is Varnashram system, where everyone, according to his social and social position, can execute duties of Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So those who get into household life, they are advised how they should serve saintly people, how they should receive a sannyasi, how they should do service to the deities, how they should take care of their dependents. And that's how slowly they can come to a transcendental position. That's what Prabhupada speaks about in this purport. He says a devotee purified by devotional service is transcendental to the above mundane qualities. So, when we execute such duties of Varnashram Dharma, then there is a chance of becoming transcendental to these mundane qualities. And then, Prabhupada goes to explain about the word Dharma being used here. Prabhupada always speaks about what Dharma is and what Dharma is not. And then he says, Dharmam tu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranito. So, Dharma means, generally people think that it is religious faith. People think that I am Christian, I am Hindu. Hum Hindu dharma ke hai. Hum Christian dharma ke hai, Baudh dharma ke hai. But Prabhupada goes ahead and says that dharma is not what is religious faith is generally understood by people. Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavatam. He says, Dharmam tu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. So dharma is course of religion which is given by God. Prabhupada many times used to say that dharma is not man-made. You cannot manufacture a way of dharma. Few people in the society cannot come up with the rules and regulations and then say that, okay, this is dharma. That has been rejected by Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam speaks that dharma is what is given by Krishna. And then Prabhupada speaks something really very interesting about what a dharma is. He speaks from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna tells to Arjuna that sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. So this happens to be one of the greatest instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna concludes his teachings sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. So the highest transcendental situation is where we give up all other dharma other than surrendering to Krishna. So Prabhupada says that all this material occupation of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, all these occupational duties also should be given up at one stage. And one should only surrender fully to Krishna and execute his directions as guided by a bona fide spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, Prabhupada quotes that in this verse, that Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. So real dharma is that by which the spiritual identity of a person is revived. All other dharmas are on material standards. Dharma of a citizen of a country, dharma of being a wife of someone, dharma of being a husband of someone, dharma of being a father of someone, these are all on material platform. So that's how this brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas act on mundane platform. And Prabhupada emphasizes that this all should be given up and one should take complete shelter of Krishna or Lord Narayan. And once a person takes shelter of Krishna completely, then no matter what he executes, may fall under Varnashram Dharma or may not fall under Varnashram Dharma, it doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj, being a son of Hiranyakashipu, he is not ideally supposed to glorify a person who is killer of his father, right? But Prahlad Maharaj is transcendental to his position. Prabhupada writes here, right? A devotee purified by devotional service is always in transcendental position. So when Prahlad Maharaj saw that Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj was happy. He was happy, and when the same pastime goes ahead, where Hiranyakashipu is again frustrated by his attempts to kill Prahlad Maharaj, and when finally Prahlad Maharaj has been threatened, saying that where is your Vishnu? Can he come and protect you right now? Is he there in this pillar? And that's how Narsingadev appears, and he kills Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad Maharaj, first all the demigods were thinking how to do glorification, and they all failed, seeing the frightened situation, how the face of Narsingadev being red, and his 800 form, and all blood-stained clothes of Narsingadev. So all the demigods, including Lakshmiji, was also fearful of giving prayers to Narsingadev. And only Prahlad Maharaj comes forward and offers prayers to Narsingadev. And then Prahlad Maharaj was actually interested in Hiranyakashipu. He said to Narsingadev that I am now very happy that Hiranyakashipu is killed. And O Lord, if at all you want to give some benediction to me, please deliver my father. Because Prahlad Maharaj was knowing that Hiranyakashipu lived a very sinful life. He wanted to reverse the system which was established by Vishnu. That is one of the innate quality of demoniac mentality. Whatever order is already established, to act against that is a quality of demon. So Hiranyakashipu wanted that no Brahmana should do yagyas to Vishnu, because he thought that if Brahmanas are doing yagya, Vishnu will get his strength. Then he was prosecuting Brahmanas. And then he was making a plan that sinful people should go to heaven and those who are pious should go to hell. And of course he did many sinful activities. He himself was a drunkard. I heard in a class that whenever Hiranyakashipu used to walk around, a great strong smell of liquor used to come. And all the assistants of Hiranyakashipu used to put scents and other aromas in his living places so that the pungent smell of his liquor is not, smelled by others who come and visit Hiranyakashipu. He was so always intoxicated. So Prahlad Maharaj was very happy that now that Vishnu has come personally and killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu will get delivered. Prahlad Maharaj very well knew the philosophy. He was very well trained by Narad Muni in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad Maharaj was very confident that my son my father is delivered now. And when Narsingadev heard this prayer, he started patting Prahlad Maharaj, and he said, "Don't worry, not just Hiranyakashipu, but all your generations will be purified because of you being a devotee." So just by a person becoming devotee individually, he may not preach to his parents, he may not preach to his siblings or other person. If one person becomes individually a pure devotee, or he succeeds in the practice of Krishna consciousness, that is sufficient to give enough sukruti for others, other family members, so that one day they will become Krishna conscious. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj was exemplifying in this whole pastime. And through this pastime, Bhagavatam gives a very, very beautiful instructions to all the people. How one should be fearless when you take shelter of Krishna. How you should boldly preach to those who are not Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj says that instead of my individual growth in Krishna consciousness, I would like to preach to others. I will not like to go to forest, but I would like to preach to the people. And how we can come to know how Lord is very shelter giving. He is Bhakta Vatsala. He is always taking care of devotees. I heard in yet another class that when Hiranyakashipu said to Prahlad Maharaj that is your Lord not there in this pillar? Hiranyakashipu was pointing towards a pillar. So Narsingadev immediately manifested in all the pillars of Hiranyakashipu's palace. Because Narsingadev thought that right now Hiranyakashipu is pointing towards this pillar, but what is the guarantee that he will break this pillar only? While being anger, he might break some other pillar. So Narsingadev was so ready for Hiranyakashipu to attack Hiranyakashipu that he manifested in every pillar in the Hiranyakashipu's palace. So that much he is Bhakta Vatsal. And we can get to know all these lessons from this pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev's pastime is being discussed. So thank you very much. If anyone has any questions or any comments, they can please. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.